In the name of Jesus. Father, tonight, we are saying to you that we want to be close to you. Thank you because of the way you have spoken already. Thank you for the build-up of the meeting this morning until now. Thank you for so many decisions you have led us to make. Thank you for the word of life that has been coming to us in various directions. Father, we are praying that even as we meet with you tonight, you will draw us and make us to be close to you. We have seen that the youth, the face of the young man, is the critical spot at which your purpose had to be done in a man's life. Father, this night we are asking that you will help us to maximize our days now that we are young. Holy Spirit, we are asking that as you help Daniel, as you help all those young people to make their choices, help us, Lord, to make the right choice at this point in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we are prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right, thank you for being patient for us to finish tonight, and then we can go and take our meal. I want to thank you for your understanding. We know that if we should go and line up for meal before we come back, we may not be in good shape anymore. And we think we should finish quickly tonight and trust that the Lord will help us to gather as we eat and sleep. Praise the Lord. We have been following what God has been doing since morning, and we felt that God is gradually taking this meeting to a climax. Hallelujah. And tonight, I will be speaking about a man who missed divine encounter at his youth. A man who missed the divine encounter at his youth. There are several men in the Word of God that God started early to encounter them in order to position their lives, but missed that opportunity. And they paid dearly for it for many years. Some of them, because of the divine purpose of God that God was committed to, he still pursued them until he got them, but not without scars. There are some that once they missed that encounter, they didn't get it again. And you know, because as we are looking at the segment now that you are young, we are seeing several peculiarities about it that we need to address together. Thank God that when we went into the workshop, even though I'm sorry that the time was not enough, that would have been a real time for us to discuss several issues peculiar to you as a young man, as a young lady growing on and facing all the peculiarities of stepping into adulthood or womanhood or manhood. But we trust that God will give us opportunity to keep making input into that as we grow on in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to take our text very quickly as I'm looking at this man that missed his encounter at the youth. And what I just want to do tonight is to help you see the panoramic view of a life that missed it at when God would have wanted him to catch it. You know why God also allowed such stories to be written for us? So that we can always make a choice because we have a reference. I want you to turn to Genesis. I want you to turn to Genesis. Praise the Lord. If you get to Genesis chapter 47, and I'm going to read only verse 7, verse 8, verse 9. Genesis chapter 47, we read verse 7, verse 8, verse 9 in this first instance before we will go to chapter 48. Then Joseph brought in his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. And they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." When you look at that passage, you can even see as I read it that it was curious, isn't it? It was, I couldn't understand it. But as I sat back to look at the biography of Jacob, are you hearing me? As I sat back to look at the biography of Jacob, I could now understand why he had to give this kind of testimony when he was now, how many years now? 130 years. Now, do you know that his own father, Isaac, who knows how old Isaac was before he died? You wouldn't know. Isaac was 180 years before he died. So for this man to be 130 years at this point, he was not yet as old as his father. Is that all right? And what are we discovering? Look at the way the Bible said. Joseph brought in his father Jacob and did what? And set him. Is there any other version Eh? Presented. Introduced. That's wonderful. But you see, I think it's more than English that is struggling with the word sect. Do you understand? Now, you see, do you know that if Jacob walked into the palace of Pharaoh, eh? And if you can with Pharaoh and say, how are you? They will not use the word sect. The word sect means that this man had to be arranged, had to be packaged. Do you understand that now? He had to be brought in. He couldn't by himself come in. And so when he was brought in, they arranged his leg and arranged his hand, and then they arranged his neck, and then when they think he is presentable, do you understand that now? Then he was presented to Pharaoh. Now you see, my first curious situation is that, why should Pharaoh? You also check. Is that the right question that Pharaoh should have asked? And you brought somebody to come and greet Pharaoh. And then the first question that came out of his mouth, it was not, oh, you are very welcome. Eh? Is that the question? Is that the greeting? I said, Kai, oh, we thank God. So Joseph is your son. Oh, he's such a wonderful man here. He has helped our economy. You are welcome, sir. Is that what Pharaoh said? No. There was something that was overwhelming when Pharaoh saw Jacob. That the only thing that ran through his mind was what? How old are you? That you are looking like this. How old are you that they have to set you like this? How old are you that everything about you looks scattered? And for you to know that Jacob understood the question very well, his answer also was very, very serious. Do you know the way he answered? He seemed to say, I am not as old as my father. As you see me now, you will think that I was the grandfather, or I was the father of my father. But it's not so. It's not so. Look at how he answered. The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. And they have not even attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Did you understand something about what we have read? Eh? Could you see Jacob beginning to tell a story of regret? Eh? Now at old age. Now that he had become quite old and he couldn't do anything anymore except to be sent. They have to carry him like this, carry him like this, carry him like this. To the point that Pharaoh, instead of rushing to greet him, he only was confused and said, but how old are you that you have become scattered like this? Are you Ancient of Days? And now the man said, look, if you meet my father is even in more shape than myself. My father died at 180. And that was just 10 years ago. And my father was not like this. I see Pharaoh was saying, so what made you like this?
Yeah.
Few are my days. But they are what? They are full of evil. I have had trouble in life. I have really suffered. Sometimes when you meet old men that are now at their old age, still struggling around, it's because they may not tell you the truth. Do you know what happened to them? They wasted their youth. Are you hearing me? If you meet some boys that now they are getting to 50, but they are still pushing truck, if they will tell you the truth, what do you think happened to them? At their youth, they wasted their youth. They mishandled the prime of their years. And Jacob was one man who missed the encounter that God gave him at his youth. And I want to share that with you very quickly. Now, for you not to think that, oh, but why are we trying to make a big message out of this little verse? I want you to go to chapter 48 for you to see that this story that this man began to speak to Pharaoh, even when he was now in private room with Joseph, he began to repeat the same story. Can I show you how he began to repeat the same story? Go to chapter 48. Look at chapter 48. Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me. I want you to begin to see now. God Almighty did what? Appeared to me when? At Luz, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me. Now, please, you know, I'm just doing a panoramic analysis of the biography of Jacob for you to see something that he missed in his youth. We talked of Daniel, and we saw that Daniel made a right choice when? In his youth. But we are meeting another man here. So, because he himself began to tell the story of when the Almighty God appeared to him at Luz, we will need to go and check when was God appearing to him at Luz. We will need to check that very quickly. But before I take you back there, he said, in the land of Canaan, and he blessed me, and he said to him, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you of you a multitude of people, and I will give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. And now your two sons, Ephraim, Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they are of, they shall be mine. Your offspring whom you beget, after them shall be yours. They will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. But as for me, are you hearing? This is an old man now, telling the story of his life. As for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way. When there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Now, I cannot understand how to tell you the story. Because the way the man was speaking, you need insight to get into his heart. Because look at verse 7. Did you notice that verse 7 is an interruption of what he started saying from verse 6? You are not understanding. Have you ever visited an old man and he started saying something to you and suddenly, as if he remembers something in his old years and he digressed to that. And just before you can ask him, Baba, what do you mean? Say, forget about that. Let's continue. Eh? Why? He was remembering something that he did wrong. He was remembering something that was an omission in his youthful days. My prayer for you, are you hearing me? Is that you will, there will be nothing that you will remember at old age that will be a reason for your regret in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know that there are serious problems that many, many mothers have in correcting their daughters? You know, there were times that maybe you are misbehaving and your mother wanted to correct you. And as she's trying to speak to you, suddenly she stopped. And she couldn't talk again. Do you know what happened? She remembered that she did more terrible things than you when she was your age. And instead of confessing to you and say, maybe you were taking after my lifestyle, she jumped over that matter. And you knew that there's something your mother is keeping that she doesn't want you to know about. I have discovered that when a man makes an omission in his youth, even in his old age, he will continue to gallop in life. There will always be empty gaps, inexplicable gaps in his life or in her life. I was surprised what could have brought verse 7 to this discussion. Because after verse 7, do you know that he just, the Bible said, he saw Joseph's son, and then he said, who are these? And he said, bring them to me, and he blessed them, he kissed them. And do you remember, can you see that? Why did verse 7 enter? Those were the omissions that Jacob was still grappling with at old age. Now, can we check what was the problem? Before Jacob was born, God knew him. Am I right? And God had a plan for his life. Even while he was still just like a fetus inside the womb, God already spoke about Jacob. Is that so? Before he was born, God said, Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate. God had a plan for Jacob. And when Jacob was born, there was this struggle right inside the womb. And by the time he was born, they saw him struggling with his senior brother. And they said, "Kai, this boy is a Jacob." And you know, when they called him Jacob, maybe they were just joking. They don't know that they have set his life on a course that he will suffer for years before he can recover. And he was Jacob, actually a supplanter, a struggler. But listen, he started well. They grew. And they were growing. We were told that Esau became what? A hunter. And I'm not interested in Esau at all. You know why I don't want to talk about Esau? Can I tell you why I don't want to talk about Esau? He missed his own youth and he never recovered. And I have no business about talking about Esau because I don't know where he is now. I can't tell you where Esau is. Because the Bible said in Hebrews 12, it said, "Look diligently, lest there be any profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of meat, a mess of pottage," what did he do? He sold his own birthright, that afterward, when he sought for it with tears, could he get it? The Bible says he found no place for repentance, even though he wept bitterly. But you see, I'm not talking about Esau to you because we are persuaded of better things concerning you. None of you will be Esau in the name of Jesus. As God has seen to it that you are having an encounter with him in this meeting, you will never be an Esau in the name of Jesus. But Esau is not a man to talk about. So let's leave him. Let's leave him. Let's leave him. Esau could have been the great-grandfather of our Lord Jesus today. But a mess of pottage finished him. One little thing like this finished Esau and he was gone. But that's not the man we need to talk about. We must not go to Esau. Now, but look at Jacob. As he was growing, the eyes of the Lord was on him. But he started a crooked way of living. The first thing I noticed he did was to use koni-koni means. To get the birthright from his senior brother. That day that the young man wanted a mess of pottage, even though Esau messed his own life up, but yet it was not the right approach for Jacob to have collected his brother's birthright. But he got it. On the day that their father was to bless him, what did he do again? Who knows what he did again? You see, somebody asked a question during the practical discussion about forge results. And some of you think that it is only now that people started forging certificates and their identity card. Do you know that Jacob, what do you think he did that day? He forged certificates now. He faked his identity. Imagine how his father was asking him, "Are you truly my son Esau?" He said, "Yes, now." "Baba, no, before the one, he make you eat quickly." He went and wore one of the dresses of a Esau, so that it can smell like Esau. Do you understand that? And then there was this goat skin that he put on his hand, so that when the father said, "Come, my son, make I feel you," he just started feeling the hairy garment as if that is Esau. He was collecting a blessing, but on a forged certificate. Are you with me? He wanted to become something. Now, if I ask any of you that ever fell into forgery of certificate or change of name, when I was a lecturer and I was involved in admitting students to the campus, and I remember this young lady that was needing admission, and actually, I didn't know how she got admitted, but she was already admitted before I met her and before she said she gave her life to Christ. You know what she did? In order to qualify for admission into the college, because you have to be a state indigent for you to have a quota, she went and claimed to be married to one Alhaji so that she could claim indigent of Makuti. Alright? And there was an arrangement about that, so she came as Mrs. Somebody. So one day she came to my department to register, and as I was scrutinizing things, I said, what's happening? And I thought she was a thief girl, but when she said, brother, she go Yoruba. She turned to the vernacular. I said, yes, are you a Yoruba girl? He said, but me, Feta was my mom, I don't want them to know that I'm a Yoruba girl. Why? Then she told the story. She did not know that she's telling the story to a wrong man. Now, so Jacob had forged certificate before. He had forged his identity. And he seemed to have collected a blessing. Are you getting me now? It seems as if he is making it, because his father has blessed him and he was running away with that blessing, which is a fake blessing. Are you with me at all? May God help you to know that even though God intends to make you a professor in life, you don't need to forge your certificate before God can help you. There are brothers who is sitting here that they did not even go to any school, but because God has a plan for their lives, He took them from the village and they have passed and they have got good position in life, and God has carried them all over the world. God can do that. You don't have to be under the pressure of your colleague and say, if I don't make this mathematics, I won't go anywhere. And that's why you want to do something wrong with your youth. It may take years to recover. Praise the Lord. Now, Jacob had done that. But that is not my problem. You know my own problem. It doesn't matter all the mistakes you have made in life, there comes a time when God comes to encounter you in order to set your life straight. That is the most crucial thing when you miss an encounter. Are you hearing me now? That you forge result, that you did this, that's not the big problem. The big problem is that God came to step into your life at the time of your youth and you postponed it. That will be the problem. The problem, listen to me, is not that you have had boyfriends. But the problem is that now God saw it fit to come and encounter you on your road to confusion. in order to stop what the devil wanted to spoil, and you postpone that encounter. That is the problem. Are you with me? It doesn't matter how things looked before you came here. That's not the problem. If God is not able to help you, why will he bring you here? That you are here is already a testimony that God's interest in your life is still intact. You are not hearing me at all? Are you hearing me? Yes. Because God has not removed his eyes and his mercy from you, that's why he's coming again to encounter you. And he's doing it deliberately when he could help you. So look at Jacob. He was already in a wrong lifestyle. But when God saw him, God decided to arrange what? An encounter for him. Where? At Luz. The place was called Luz. His brother Jacob had called it Bethel. Now, when God encountered him at Luz, I want you to see a little details of that encounter. If we can quickly look at that encounter, it might be of assistance for us to now set his journey, and then I can describe to you. I don't think I want to be long. The story of the man is very long, but we won't be long on him. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Now, in verse 10, Genesis 28, verse 10. Are you in Genesis 28? And let's rush. As young people, let's move fast. Now, if you have got to verse 10 of chapter 28, I will read. Can I read? Now, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and he put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to do what? To sleep. Now, do you understand what we are doing now? He was traveling on a journey that he doesn't know. Let me ask you, why was he running to where he was going? Eh? Because of his misbehavior at home, he was running. He was trying to escape. He had made a mistake, and Esau was planning to kill him. And so he was now running. Now, do you know that some of you, because of some mistakes you've made in life, you are on the run? Do you know that? Do you know that because of some wrong decisions you took, or something wrong that you did, you just find that you are just finding a means of covering it, and that's why you are traveling here and there? There are times that simply because you told a lie, and that lie was going to be discovered, that's why you now travel to far north. Are you hearing me? That was not where God wanted you to be, but you are covering something. Now, God knew that the way Jacob is going now, if I don't encounter him, his journey may be rough. And gracious enough, God came down. Please see what God did. I am very interested in looking at what God was doing to this young man, and it was exciting to me, but our brother missed it. Then he dreamt, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and his top reached to heaven. And then the angels of God were doing what? Were ascending and descending on it. That was very interesting. Can you imagine what God did to him? He was running. And then he came to this place and God decided to do something specific for his life. What was that? There was a ladder that was set up. I was wondering who set it up. Who do you think set up that ladder? The Lord Almighty was giving him the point at which to connect heaven. And God has set up a ladder whereby from that point where he was sleeping, if he decided to start climbing the ladder to heaven, nobody can capture him again. God was himself setting up a divine connection with his brother so that his life can find meaning. Angels were ascending and descending. You know what I saw? If they have said angels were descending and ascending, I would have said angels were coming down. Abi? But what God did was that where this brother was lying down, there was already what? Angels that could have been doing what? Ascending with his life. Oh, did you get me now? As if there and then, there would have been a divine lifting that would have carried him, carried him, carried him, carried him. And if you look at the end of that verse, the Bible says, and behold, who stood above it? The Lord himself stood above the ladder. The Lord Almighty stood there and began to speak to him, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendant. Also your descendant shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. What a wonderful encounter. God is saying, I'm not going to leave you until I have done what I planned for you. If I were the one, what should I have done? What do you think Jacob should have done that day? Eh? I'm asking you, what do you think Jacob should have done that day? He should have done what? He should have just surrendered. He should have said, oh Lord, what will you have me to do? He should have said, you know that I have been running away from my brother. Even this journey that I'm making, I didn't ask whether I should go. So where will you want me to go? And how will you bring me into the things that you have promised me now? And God will have taken over that journey from his hand. Am I correct? But look at him. Look at him. So when Brother Dennis began to speak to us in the morning about setting your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, and somebody asked a question, does it mean that we cannot hope to become something in this world? No. It's just that one comes before the other. Look at him now. Can you see what Jacob did? Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Wonderful statement. Abi? Wonderful confession. My fear is that many times you come to a place that God has arranged to change your destiny completely. The only thing you do is just speak, and you forget what God wanted to do with your life. He spoke well. He even named the place. But look at him. Then Jacob rose early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put at his head and he set it up as a pillar, poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me. What did God say in verse 15? Behold, I am with you. God did not even say, behold, I will be with you. What did he say? I am with you. I'm already with you. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you. Then our brother Jacob put if, where God put behold. Are you hearing me? What is that if all about? He put a conditionality. And look at his own condition. If God will be with me, and he will keep me in this way that I'm going. Which way? You see, did you see the problem now? He was going his own way. He was going a way that he does not know. Instead of asking for the way to go, he was saying, if the Lord will be with me in this way that I'm going. And how terrible prayers many of you have been praying. You've been asking that if God will be with you in this way that you are going, which way? Some of you, the way you are already going now is a way of wrong marriage. But any man of God you see, you just say, bless me. I just want your anointing to come on my life. And that this thing that I am doing, may God bless it. Because God said he will give me the desire of my heart. You are joking. You see, because he was going on a way that is self-oriented, God came to stop him so that God can show him how to go. He said, and if he will give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. Did you understand now? Where was he setting his affection? Until on the earth. How could he waste that ladder where angels are ascending and descending and God himself is standing on top of it? How could he waste that now and begin to ask for what he will eat and what he will put on, even when the lilies, are you hearing me, ordinary grass, they are clothed. Rats on the field, they are eating. Why should that? You know, sometimes you have come here now, and when we say, let us pray, and God say, ask me anything, what some of you will ask already shows the level of your heart. It shows that you don't know what you are doing. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible says, you now say, so that I come back to my father's house in peace. Then, when? Then, will the Lord be my God? What has he done now? He has postponed an encounter. God said, I am the Lord God of your father Abraham, the Lord God of your father Isaac. I am the Almighty God. I am with you. He said, thank you. Condition. If you will go with me in this way, if you will keep me And if you will give me bread to eat and something to wear, and if you will bring me back to my father's house in peace, then, if that takes 20 years, it is in 20 years' time that you will be my God. Are there people sitting here that kept postponing their commitment? Are there some of you saying, I'm going to be serious with God. I will be serious with God. But if only He can help me to pass my exam, then. Is there any reason why you are postponing your commitment for Jesus to actually take over your life and guide you from now? Is there something you are doing that is making you to procrastinate the time that God could have taken over from you? Do you want to go more years in confusion? Are you planning to continue to make more mistakes before you will now wake up? And look at this man. He said, then shall the Lord be my God. And look at this. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Did you hear him now? What does God need a tenth for? Did you see how foolish this young man was? God that will give him everything. Is it the one thing that God is dying for? I didn't hear him say, I will give my life to you. What did he say? I will give a tenth. Can I ask you, is 10% a pass mark? If a lecturer looks at you and he gave you 10%, no matter what you did for him, has he done well? Will you pray for him? You say, I thank God for my lecturer. He gave me 10%. This man said, I will give a tenth to you. Now, even when some of you think that paying tithe is a big thing, I discover that it is men like this that said a tenth. It was not God. But those of you that don't know how to pay a tenth, I don't see you giving all your life to Christ. Is that alright? So the least you can do that Jacob was going to do, which I didn't think he did. I don't know when he paid that tithe. Eventually didn't pay any tithe. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Can I move very quickly? And so he left. Do you know that from that chapter, I want you to hear me, from that chapter, this man left. He was just 40 years there. And there was nothing he did again that showed that he remembered that encounter. He has postponed it. So he went on his journey. Chapter 29. How many of you would like to continue on your journey after this congress? No. And he went on his journey. I was so afraid. I said, look at the man that God encountered. When Brother Paul was on his road to Damascus and God encountered him just like this, what did Paul say? Lord, what will you have me to do? Then the Lord said, go into the house of one man in Damascus. There is a brother called Ananias. I will send him to you. Is that not true? And do you know that that was why Paul became who he became? Listen, I want you to hear this. Was Paul not a murderer? Was Paul not a reckless man? But why did God use Paul so mightily? When God encountered him, he did not postpone it. Do you understand me now? That you have committed sin is not a big problem. It is that God has come to encounter you and you are not ready to make the full use of that encounter. That's where the problem comes. If you have understood me, I can go on. So he went on his way. Now I want you to see, and because I just want to be short now, I'll just tell you what happened on his journey. Can I tell you now quickly? As he went on his way, when he got to Haran, I think, where did he get to now? He got to the land of the people of the east. He looked, he saw a well in the field, and there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks. And that looked to me like he has reached the place where his own mother was married for his father. Immediately in my mind, I say, hey, look at Jacob now. He has come to a place where Eliza came. When I now went back to look at what Eliza did, you know, Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, when he got to that well, what did he do? He prayed. He said, oh Lord, my God, I have come to this strange people. Show kindness to my master, Abraham, and give me the right lady for his son, Isaac. He prayed. Then he prayed, he said, oh God, any lady that comes here first, that will accept to give me water to drink, and also feed these camels with water, may it be that she is the one you have chosen for your son Isaac. Did you see Eliezer praying? He prayed. The Bible says he had not yet finished praying when this young lady came to fetch water from the well. And as he saw the lady, he just greeted her and said, could I please have a drink? The lady said, I will not only give you a drink, but I will do what? I will give to all your camels. Do you know that as soon as she did this, what did Eliezer do again? The Bible said, he worshipped. He knelt down and said, Father, I hope this is the girl who I don't still want to be deceived, though. I hope she's the right one, but I thank you because it looks you are leading me right. Then he asked, who are you? And they got talking. And when they got talking, it looks as if this is the right thing. He still prayed again. If you read Genesis 24, I cannot tell you how many times Eliezer prayed in a short while so that he will not miss the will of God. That was how Jacob's father married Jacob's mother. Are you with me? Now, this boy. He has come here now. And when he saw the cactus line, he did as if he did not know how to fetch water. But as soon as this young girl came, Rachel, what did he do? Who knows what he did? He jumped up and he removed his dress I started fetching water. Whereas Eliezer said, any girl that will fetch water for me to drink and give this camel. Are you hearing me? Don't worry. When we come to talk about choice of life partner, we will be dealing with that kind of issue. What some of you do? The handkerchief you bought for that sister. How some of you started copying notes for the girl. You left your own note uncopied. You are copying notes for another girl. And you don't know that you are looking for jumbo. You are running into trouble. How some of you, even your school fees, you use it to say you are helping a sister. And you know what you are planning. And as if it's only boys that spend their school fees on their girls, what of sisters? Say, I don't want to miss it. Abi? And that's why you know what you have done. But you come, you say, Lord, bless this thing. Bless this thing. Which thing? Praise the Lord. Now, when he saw, I was deeply touched with Jacob. Jacob was just a young man. And when Jacob saw them, he suddenly said, my brethren, where are you coming from? So as soon as he saw Rachel, are you hearing me? That Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth. He watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob, he prayed. What did he do? You have not seen the verse I'm reading, have you? Look at verse 11. What did he do? Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice. And did what? And he wept. Now, what is making him to cry? Did you see that now? He will not pray. You can imagine, you sisters, the first day, this brother says he saw you. The first thing he was doing was to kiss you. Don't you know that that's a dangerous young man? If anything is telling you that he loves you, you are joking. That's how Jacob went. Jacob, without prayer, kissed the girl. And then he lifted up his voice and started weeping. What was he weeping about now? You can see emotionalism. If I can tell you, I think how Jacob was weeping was that car without you. I cannot balance. You are the only rose of the garden. Can you imagine him? I could imagine that from that moment, Richie, when he gets a yes, he says, oh, you know, I'm just feeling so lonely. I don't just know what is happening to me. I just feel like just coming to look at you. Richie. Hallelujah. You know how, if you know how Jacob is, I wish you can see the picture. How Jacob will go in front of guest hostess. You say, where are you going? I'm just strolling. And then he strolls, he goes up and And then he's looking at the window in case Rachel will just look. And then when his eyes caught Rachel, he started crying again. So, you know, I couldn't sleep. I even tried to sleep. I'm just restless. You know, I don't even see how I can face this exam. Just come, just hold my hand. You know, I just want you to encourage me a little. Just encourage me. When any young man tells you that without you, he could not reach his exam, he's a liar. Sister, what did I tell you? He's a liar. He's a liar. He's not serious. He's doing only that to capture you. Now, he had not prayed. He had not even asked, God, you showed yourself to me. You said you will be with me. What am I seeing about this Richard? Is he the right person?